Hello, this is Tamara with the Decatur Herald in Review. It's Wednesday, November 26th. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Food, Hungry Students Heading Home. We have a photo of Elena Larson, Kristen Stuckey, Jesse Stuckey, Colton Merriman, Jordan Merriman, and another and a nine-month-old, Daniela Stuckey, eating burgers and fries together as Colton visits from out of town at Kreckels in Forsyth on Monday, November 24th. From Dinette Beckett in Decatur, area restaurants eye business during college break. People coming home for the holidays aren't just interested in mom's cooking. Many have also been craving their favorite local hotspots. Ever since Mawiqua native Sydney Lower left for college 10 years ago, her family's favorite restaurant to meet up at has been South Shore's Monocle's Pizza. "We always have to do it for family get-together," she said. "I do like it. It's more like nostalgic." After the holidays, Lower returns to her home in Minnesota with even more pizza. "Every Christmas or so, I'll come home with about 15 frozen pizzas," she said, "and also the dressing. It's good." Along with Monocle's Pizza, the basic list has included La Gondola Spaghetti House and Kreckels Burgers. "We're happy to be a part of that list," said Tiffany Lamb, general manager of La Gondola, located at 2825 North Water Street, Decatur. College kids as well as their families often find themselves visiting the popular local restaurants. "They'll come in and take food back with them," Lamb said. "Our garlic bread, we sell it uncooked. People usually stock up and put it in their freezer." Mindy Miner, general manager of Monocle's Pizza on Mount Zion Road, is expecting several families to return during the holidays. "We have tons of families, tons of teenagers," she said. "Anytime anybody comes back into town, Monocle's is one of the very first things they hit." Holiday eves are one of the busiest days for restaurants, according to the managers. "The day before Thanksgiving, there'll be tons of people here from out of town," Miner said. Monocle's Pizza, known for its thin crust pies, is a regional chain restaurant with locations in Indiana and Missouri, but most are located in southern and central Illinois. "We have three just in Decatur," Miner pointed out. "Up north, for some reason, it didn't work out up there." The restaurants often hear a similar response from their out-of-state customers. "You guys need to come here." Thanksgiving Eve is the second busiest day for the La Gondola staff. "Christmas Eve is typically our busiest day, but we're actually closing on Christmas Eve this year," Lamb said. "Sometimes an empty stomach just needs a double cheeseburger." "Around the holidays, we get a lot of families, a lot of college kids, and people back with their friends," said Chad Kreckel, owner of the Forsyth Kreckels restaurant. "The restaurants also have returning employees during the holiday breaks. They come back and want to work for that week or two that they're back," Kreckel said. "We could definitely use the extra help. Little training is needed, according to the managers. Usually after the first day, they pick it right back up," Kreckel said. "Those traveling home often stop by their favorite restaurants early in their visits. They say this is their first stop when they get back, before they even get home and unpack their luggage," Kreckel said. "It's a pretty good feeling." Lauer admits her favorite foods are based on Midwest cuisine. "My taste level is just not great," she said. "I've had a saffron risotto in Italy, and I thought, yeah, that's pretty good. But it had the same color as Kraft macaroni and cheese." Editor's note, Herald and Review Thanksgiving Day edition to go digital. Because of the Thanksgiving holiday, Thursday's edition of the Herald and Review, including puzzles and comics, will be available online at herald-review.com/e-edition. Print delivery will resume Friday. As always, you can find the latest news, sports, and entertainment at herald-review.com. Our e-edition website and app are included in your print subscription. If you haven't created an account, you can do so at herald-review.com/activate. From Hallie Golden and Thomas Peipert, Associated Press, Erie, Colorado. Some families adopting turkeys. Gus, the turkey, spent Thanksgiving week much differently than millions of other unlucky gobblers across the U.S. As he trots in a sprawling animal sanctuary on the Colorado plains, he's stopped every few steps by staff who pet him, hug him, or even give him a peck on his red face. Gus has been here since 2023 after being pardoned by the governor. What do you think? Do you want to do snuggles today? Lynette Cook, Education and Engagement Manager at the Love and Arms Animal Sanctuary in Erie, Colorado, says to Gus. Gus is among a growing number of turkeys that are being adopted instead of being covered in gravy and eaten on Thanksgiving dinner tables. An increasing number of farm animal sanctuaries across the country started promoting this alternative version of Thanksgiving, in which families adopt turkeys and donate money to their lifelong care. In return, they receive photos, certificates, and sometimes even one-on-one visits with the birds. The goal? Spare a few of the tens of millions of turkeys slaughtered this time of year, many of which are raised in what animal rights advocates say are inhumane conditions in factory farms. Some people will adopt for themselves and feature their turkey's photo on their Thanksgiving table, while others will gift the adoptions to friends or family members. At Love and Arms, a $25 donation comes with a certificate photo and either a virtual or in-person visit, explained Kelly Nix, its executive director. Since launching the program in 2022, the sanctuary, located about 25 miles north of Denver, saw the number of sponsorships double every year. This year, they're on track to reach their goal of $18,000, she said. Love and Arms' website features Gus and a gaggle of turkeys, along with their personality traits. Gus is very talkative, as part of its Sponsor a Turkey program. It encourages the public to donate for the birds for Thanksgiving and maybe even rethink their holiday traditions. The funds helped pay for extending the turkeys' outdoor pasture area, along with feeding and rescuing more turkeys. They helped with veterinary bills, which can sometimes cost thousands of dollars because of the medical complications that arise for turkeys that come from factory farms, which breed them to grow very big in a short period of time, said Nix. In the wild, turkeys tend to live an average of 3 or 4 years, according to the National Wild Turkey Federation. But the sanctuary says the program is about more than just the turkeys or money. There's also an important education factor, whether learning about the conditions in factory farms or that turkeys are more than just centerpieces. Even if it makes you stop and double think what it is you're about to do, said Nix, or that you're like, wow, this is a life of a sentient being, for us that's a conversation starter. Farm Sanctuary, which is located in New York and California, is believed to be the first to launch this type of turkey adoption program, kicking it off in 1986. Gene Barr, its president and co-founder, said initially the public was not only confused about the program, but about the concept of rescuing farm animals. In the nearly 4 decades since, the sanctuary rescued thousands of turkeys. The public has not only caught up onto the concept, but in some years donated hundreds of thousands of dollars, Barr said. We grow up with certain traditions, but just because something is a tradition doesn't mean that it needs to remain as a tradition, said Barr. Barn Sanctuary has had a simpler program since 2023 in Chelsea, Michigan. Chase DeBack, its advocacy education engagement coordinator, said it's about shining a more positive light on the birds and their distinct personalities. He rattles off some of the organization's residents, like their close friends. Lewis isn't much of a people person, but he loves spending time with the girls. Sabrina and Hilda are always interested in what people are bringing into the coop and what everyone's doing. You only hear about kind of the dead turkeys, said DeBack, and so we really wanted to shine a light on the unique personalities that turkeys have and how loving and caring they are for humans and for each other. From the Herald and Review staff, Columbus, Nebraska, ADM advances new carbon capture project. Archer Daniels Midland Company has marked the start of operations for a new carbon capture and storage project at its Columbus, Nebraska corn processing complex, making the complex the largest bioethanol carbon capture facility in the world. The project is a cooperative effort with Tallgrass, an energy infrastructure company, that leverages its Trailblazer pipeline to transport captured carbon dioxide from ADM's ethanol plant in Columbus to Tallgrass, Eastern Wyoming sequestration hub for permanent storage deep underground. The Trailblazer pipeline, formerly a 400-mile natural gas transmission line, runs through Wyoming, Colorado, and Nebraska, and is capable of transporting more than 10 million tons of CO2 per year. As part of the project, Tallgrass also constructed a lateral line connecting ADM's facility to the pipeline system using only voluntary easements from landowners. From Dominic Ginetti, The Telegraph, Alton. Last month, Illinois' Exotic Weed Act was amended to include 9 new invasive plant species in the state, but one of those plants won't fall under the provisions of the act for a little more than 2 years. Come January 1, 2028, it will be illegal to buy, sell, distribute, or plant the calorie pear tree in the land of Lincoln. For more than half a century, according to the University of Illinois, the calorie pear tree has been dominating landscapes throughout the state. Invasive plants can crowd out native species, reduce wildlife habitat and forage, change the soil chemistry, and even limit the growth and regeneration of native trees. Chris Evans, University of Illinois Extension Forestry and Research Specialist, said in a statement. Evans also serves on the Illinois Invasive Species Council. It is important to recognize these species are harmful to Illinois and to take steps to reduce their impact. But why wait for the 2028 to ban the calorie pear tree? Ken Johnson, a horticulturist for the University of Illinois Extension in Jacksonville, pointed out on the Good Growing podcast that the nearly 2-year delay comes from an abundance of nursery stock. He also advises not to go out and buy trees because they're about to be phased out. The Illinois Exotic Weed Act was originally passed in 1987 and put strict laws and regulations in place regarding plants that are invasive to the state. It was amended in 2003 and again in October 2025 when Governor J.B. Pritzker signed the amended bill to include 9 more invasive plant species. Next to the calorie pear tree, the invasive species include garlic mustard plant, Sericea lespidesa, Japanese stiltgrass, tree of heaven, Amur cork tree, and leafy spurge. The calorie pear tree covers the Illinois landscape in white blooms for a few weeks in April, the University of Illinois writes. This tree was widely planted in the 1950s as a popular ornamental tree in the home landscape. Later, cultivars could cross-pollinate to produce seeds that birds brought to natural areas where the trees are now spreading. From Allie Swenson, Associated Press, New York. Health. Cracks form as MAHA expands scope. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. spent a recent Wednesday showered in praise from the Vice President and Health Technology CEOs at a glitzy Make America Healthy Again event in Washington, designed to celebrate the Health Secretary's successes and the movement he has built. Yet online, a different narrative of his tenure was playing out as a small but vocal group of Kennedy's supporters and former employees assailed top Trump administration advisors, claiming they were sabotaging him and redirecting MAHA away from its original goals. MAHA is not MAHA anymore, Gray Delaney, a former Department of Health and Human Services official ousted in August, said in a podcast interview that day. I'm not there, but what I've heard of what's happening today is not the MAHA that we had signed up for. The criticisms, which grew loud enough that the health secretary took to social media to defend his colleagues 2 days later, exposed the cracks that are beginning to form within his coalition as it amasses power and broadens in scope. Several of the environmental advocates and vaccine skeptics who helped propel Kennedy into politics have become impatient with what they view as inadequate action on their priorities. They're also wary that the health department appears willing to collaborate with pharmaceutical companies, tech firms, and other big corporations whose motives they don't trust. The Fishers pose a threat to the cohesion of a movement that has given President Donald Trump an important ally and Republicans access to a new group of voters. In the wider public, MAHA has enjoyed soaring popularity. About 2/3 of Americans said they supported the Make America Healthy Again initiative from the federal government, according to an Ipsos poll from June. Kennedy, a longtime environmental lawyer and anti-vaccine activist who helped lead the crusade against COVID-19 shots during the pandemic, has taken many steps to curtail vaccines this year. He pulled $500 million for their development, ousted and replaced every member of a federal vaccine advisory committee, and pledged to overhaul a federal program for compensating Americans injured by shots. But many of Kennedy's supporters in what they call the health freedom movement say it's not enough, Some want punishments for companies that profited from vaccine and mask requirements during the pandemic. Others want mRNA-based COVID-19 shots pulled from the shelves, despite scientific consensus that they have saved millions of lives. In their attacks on the administration last week, a few MAHA influencers and two fired HHS employees suggested White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles and Kennedy's close advisor Stephanie Speer were conspiring to limit Kennedy's ability to restrict vaccines and crack down on pharmaceutical companies. Some Kennedy supporters latched onto claims and pointed to Wiles' career history at a lobbying firm that has worked with Pfizer as evidence she's trying to undermine him. They also shared years-old social media posts from Speer criticizing Trump. Kennedy defended his colleagues in two posts on X, saying that MAHA movement has no better friend in Washington than Wiles and that Speer has become a Trump loyalist. MAHA, meaning now depends on whom you ask. Since the Make America Healthy Again slogan debuted on the campaign trail last year, Kennedy and Trump have widened the MAHA tent considerably by inviting anyone into the fold who has concerns about Americans' health, nutrition, and chronic disease. At the recent MAHA event in Washington, hosted by the pro-Kennedy group MAHA Action, Kennedy and other federal health officials appeared on a stage that was occupied throughout the day by biotech companies like CRISPR Therapeutics and Regeneron, the brain-computer interface company, Neuralink, and various AI companies and health startups. The invitation list raised flags for some longtime Kennedy supporters. "I was not thrilled about some of the people who were there," said Leslie Manoukian, president and founder of the Health Freedom Defense Fund. "I don't think that we make America healthy again through pills, creams, injections, pharmaceuticals, chips, monitors, devices." Ethan Ogreen, who led Colorado's volunteer effort for Kennedy's presidential campaign last year, said he was concerned both by speakers at the event and by a recent Kennedy social media post about meeting with tech leaders to talk about personal health data. He said he hoped Kennedy would fight corruption in America's health care system and remove mRNA COVID-19 vaccines from the market. At a recent Oval Office meeting, Kennedy stood with Trump and other administration leaders as they touted a deal with drug makers Eli Lilly and Novo Nordisk to expand coverage and reduce the prices of weight loss drugs. Now, part one from our opinion page, Turkey Talk. "Keep politics to yourself during the holidays," from Dan Reen, who's a strategic communications counselor at Dan Reen Communications. He wrote this for Inside Sources. "The holidays with family should be a blessing as we squeeze around crowded tables, eat more than we should, and bring many personalities into one home. Family are the people who allow you to be yourself. You can be silly, serious, or vulnerable. Even when disagreements happen, our relatives should be able to come back together because of shared experiences and mutual respect. Families deserve to be protected. Nothing threatens that faster than political conversations during gatherings. Families are supposed to be places where people share values and offer one another unconditional love. In real life, though, those bonds can be fragile and easily strained. And in the stress of the holidays, a few drinks and months of pent-up frustration from constant news coverage, and it does not take long for things to go off track. In recent years, political conversations have become sharper, angrier, and more personal. Opinions that were once confined to social media now spill into living rooms. Comments that people used to make anonymously from behind a screen now lend directly on the feelings of siblings, cousins, and in-laws. These moments do not lead to better understanding or healthier debate. Instead, they damage relationships and create lasting hurt. None of it is worth the fallout. Most families enter the holidays already stressed. They've had to fight traffic, tolerate crowded stores and juggle budgets, school events, decorations, and travel. Many of us are exhausted before we even carve the turkey. The last thing anyone needs is an uncle launching into a lengthy complaint about inflation or a sibling presenting his newest conspiracy theory while the stuffing is passed around. Sure, some disagreement is healthy, but few political discussions during Thanksgiving dinner turn into healthy exchanges, especially not in today's supercharged environment. What usually happens instead is that anger hides inside what looks like analysis. Attempts to score points replace thoughtful conversations. Judgment pretends to be a conviction. Hosting a holiday gathering takes a lot of effort. People spend hours preparing meals, cleaning homes, coordinating schedules, and trying to make everything memorable. One careless comment can ignite a fight that overshadows the entire day. Suddenly, the person who spent hours basting a turkey is apologizing for raised voices, and two relatives aren't speaking. Don't invite that kind of trouble into a day meant to bring people together. Instead of trying to win an argument, offer kindness. Thanksgiving is an opportunity to express gratitude. Tell someone you appreciate them, compliment the food, acknowledge the effort others have made. Look for areas where you agree. They are always there, even when politics makes it harder to see them. Many other topics can keep conversations warm and safe. Talk about sports, since even rivalries there can be friendly. Share family memories, because we never know who may be missing from the table next year or who may be joining for the first time. Discuss careers, travel plans, childhood stories, or the latest show everyone is watching. All of these things remind us why we came together in the first place. Families will continue to grow and change. Don't speed that process by making the holidays uncomfortable. Politics will still be waiting tomorrow. The news cycle never stops. Your family gatherings are special and rare. You can create a memory. Protect it. Let the holidays be what they were meant to be. Let them be a reminder that even with everything happening in the world, we still have a group of people who know us and love us and choose to show up. They do this not because they agree with us on everything, but because they are our family. This year, keep your politics to yourself. Pass the potatoes and not provocations. Choose connection instead of conflict. Let Thanksgiving be a time to remember not what divides us, but the people and things that truly matter. From our food page, Talking Turkey, a look at the health benefits of adding this protein to more meals. Turkey is rich in B vitamins, which are involved in many significant systems in the body. Turkey contains vitamin B1, B2, but is especially rich in vitamins B3, B6, and B12. Increasing vitamin B levels through turkey intake may benefit those experiencing depression, migraine headaches, and skin lesions, as research has connected vitamins B3, B6, and B12 accordingly. However, it should not replace regular medical care with your doctor. Turkey is also stacked with minerals. In addition to its potent vitamin profile, turkey contains minerals such as selenium, zinc, and phosphorus that support many avenues of health. Turkey can support healthy aging through its mineral content, supporting many bodily processes involved in health. However, those with kidney concerns should talk with their doctor or registered dietitian to ensure their portion sizes and corresponding minerals do not conflict with their renal function. Protein. Protein composed of amino acids serves many roles in the body. It acts as a structural support to cells and is essential for the function of many biological systems. Protein is necessary for transporting various nutrients involved in immune function, energy production, and fluid balance throughout the body. However, protein's most notable role in the body is related to muscle growth and repair. Amino acids are often called the building blocks of life, so protein sources are essential to building muscle. Turkey is rich in protein. 1 4-ounce serving of turkey breast provides approximately 27 grams of protein and all 9 amino acids needed for muscle growth. Adding turkey to a well-balanced diet may be especially beneficial for those trying to lose weight or increase their lean muscle mass. Additionally, research indicates that poultry, like turkey, might be a healthier protein source than its red meat counterparts. Turkey is low in fat, unlike red meat, which has been connected with increased cardiovascular and cancer risks. Hints from Heloise. Another handy use for a back scratcher. Dear Heloise, the hint about using a back scratcher to reach things in a store is something I've been doing for a while. I keep it in my purse. One day while shopping, I noticed a lady who was trying to get something high on a shelf and said that I could help her. She told me that I wasn't much taller than her. I whipped out my expandable back scratcher. She was surprised and said she would have to purchase one. Nancy Joe in Wood, Pennsylvania. Nancy Joe, it's amazing how many uses we can get out of one object. I've used my salad tongs for a number of tasks and over-the-door clothes hangers to hang plants from the top of my windows. Heloise. going back to bar soap. Dear Heloise, I keep hearing rumors that environmentalists are encouraging people to ditch liquid soap in plastic containers and go back to bar soap. This is a very good idea. With so much plastic in landfills and in the ocean, we need to start cutting back on plastic. Microplastic is even in our food, and as of yet, we don't know if it's a cancer-causing agent. However, we do know that it's not supposed to be inside of people. So please, ask your readers to go back to bar soap. Skip the liquid soap and plastic bottles because chances are these bottles cannot be recycled. Ellen F. in Green Bay, Wisconsin. College gift idea. Dear Heloise, our daughter loved her MacGyver kit and her first aid kit for college. Maintenance departments have better things to do than running to dorm rooms to fix a screw. Every student should have bandages, a thermometer, and pain reliever, fever reducers. Sue I. Tech Savvy Senior. Dear Heloise, I just read the tip from the gentleman who uses a spreadsheet to list his medications so that he always has access to it on his phone. I do the same thing but have expanded on the idea a little. In addition to creating a sheet that lists all of my prescriptions and their dosages, I've also created a tab for all major injuries and surgeries with the dates, as well as another tab for my vaccinations and these dates. It's useful to have this information on hand when you need to give your history at a new medical facility. I've also used a scan app on my phone to scan my most recent test results so I would be able to remember the correct details when seeing a new practitioner. Another tech-savvy Ohio senior, Pat B. Operation Gratitude. Dear Heloise, recently I discovered an old clipping of your column in which you offered a suggestion for donating unneeded greeting cards. I receive more than I can use and have been giving them to local senior centers, veteran affairs, hospitals. The old clipping mentioned Operation Gratitude in California. I sent them a box with maybe 100 cards a few weeks ago. Surprise, surprise, I received an email from Meg Barron at Operation Gratitude thanking me for the cards and outlining the extent of the care boxes that the operation sends to the troops, veterans, and military families. They're much appreciated. Tom C. Again from our food page, ready for round two? Elevate Thanksgiving leftovers with a turkey Reuben sandwich. You can double or triple the recipe. An extra sauerkraut and Russian dressing can be kept in a tightly sealed container in the fridge for up to a week. Katie Workman suggests that you make some hot dogs or sausages later in the week to use up the leftover sauerkraut. We have a recipe for quick sauerkraut that you make on the stove, and a recipe for homemade Russian dressing. The sandwiches are made on rye bread with Swiss or Gruyere cheese and roast turkey. For the complete list of ingredients and recipe instructions, see the in-print version of the Decatur Herald and Review. Section B. Today in history, in 1791, President George Washington held his first full cabinet meeting. In attendance were Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson, Secretary of the Treasury Alexander Hamilton, Secretary of War Henry Knox, and Attorney General Edmund Randolph. On this day in history, in 1864, English mathematician Charles Dodgson presented the illustrated manuscript Alice's Adventures Underground to his friend Alice Pleasance Liddell, 12, a book later published under the pen name Lewis Carroll as Alice's Adventures in Wonderland. In 1917, the National Hockey League was founded in Montreal, succeeding the National Hockey Association. In 1941, U.S. Secretary of State Cordell Hull delivered a note to Japan's ambassador to the United States, setting U.S. demands for lasting and extensive peace throughout the Pacific area. The same day, Japanese Naval Task Force left the Kuril Islands bound for Hawaii days before the attack on Pearl Harbor. In 1942, the film Casablanca, starring Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman, premiered. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Wednesday, November 26th. Please stay tuned.